Brother, that was absolutely masterful. That was.
Well, you have 2 minutes for questions.
you conveniently placed that as conveniently timed. No, it was absolutely excellent. Thank you so much. Everything I had ever thought that this might be and more, so thank you. We'll open it up now to questions. If you're a brother in the church, please raise your hand and Brother Logan will pass you the mic. We have more than 2 minutes. Noah Howard.
Brother, thank you so much for your presentation. Thank you for taking on this challenge. I think you did great. I think you identified many things that I've been thinking about personally. I kind of ride the line between millennial and Gen Z. It's a little blurry. But I think a lot about Gen Z especially because they're the ones that I'm going to be ministering to throughout much of my life. And I appreciate you identifying how many in Gen Z view the world. They're coping and they're hoping. And it makes me think of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, where Paul said, "Remember that you were at that time without Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And I feel like a lot in Gen Z identify with that, even if they're not aware of their spiritual predicament, but they feel like that. They feel like they're without hope in the world. And we're called to remember that and to call such people into fellowship, into God's fold, into God's household, and reassure them, you know, with the promises of God. And so I just think that's so important. The good news is we have 2 Timothy 3:15. We have the sacred writings which are able to make us wise unto salvation in Christ Jesus. And that's not just the New Testament, that's the Old Testament too. And I find, you know, although, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And so we're not teaching a new gospel, we're not having to reinvent the gospel, but we're finding maybe a new way to express it by going back to what's been there all along. I can't help but read books like Ecclesiastes and some of the Psalms and think, wow, this just speaks to the kind of issues of life that this younger generation is dealing with. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for calling attention to all this, and I think what you've presented is backed up by scripture as well. Thank you.
I also thought that was really excellent. One thing I think sometimes those who are older do, being one myself, is we have a tendency to categorize the value or the importance of certain commands of Jesus, and unintentionally we negate or we push to the bottom other things. The Bible has a tendency to try to get us to reinvestigate some of those things we pushed out of their proper position. He tells us to remember hospitality in the scriptures. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For have a reputation, having shown hospitality to strangers. The word hospitality means love of strangers, not love of relatives that are foreign or love of even brethren. It means love of people that you don't know and the people that you want to get to know. That quality of being interested in people that we have no personal reason to be interested in is the quality of Christianity. While we were as sinners, Christ died for us. So this elusive quality, this elusive attitude of caring about somebody who there's no reason to care about is something that Christians need to rediscover its importance. And I'm glad you put it up there. You talked about inviting people that are outside of our comfortable framework into our homes, young people, others. You know, those who are not diverse, getting out of our echo chamber and getting into people that we don't know. Getting interested in discovering other people and their, not only their virtues, but also they will share with you if they feel safe, their shortcomings and their curiosity. So my point is I think we've pushed some things like hospitality and this attitude of love of strangers and some of these other things out of it and elevated certain doctrines, other doctrines. And in reality, as one person brilliantly said, attitude is doctrine. And so we need to reevaluate and practice just a hospitality. You show me a congregation that has discovered the power of hospitality, that love of strangers, and they're going to go somewhere. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's the reason why I think you emphasize that. I think that that's our problem because we've pushed it out and validated its importance. And now we need to rediscover why God tells us to not forget hospitality.
Yeah. I want to thank you, brother. I really enjoyed that very much. I feel a little bit like Noah. Some of that stuff I've been thinking about quite a bit, but I pulled some stuff out of this I really enjoyed. And one of them I want to point out to everybody, if they didn't pick it up, you told your story a little bit tonight, and that was important. You said, I wasn't going to do this, and you got a little weak for a second, but that wasn't weak. That was strong. And I think that's something that I've observed in my time in the church over the years I don't see enough of people telling their story. And I see it. You know, we see Luke telling Paul's story in Acts 9, but then in Acts 22 and Acts 26, he tells his story two other times. And I think that's an important tool in our work. And I'd just like to know if you have any comments on that. I'm actually going to ask a question. I thought I'd try that out.
I think there's a lot of power in it. And I think maybe one of the things that we forget, and it's easy to sort of, especially after a bunch of years, to sort of forget what it was like. And, you know, it ought to hit us that I've come a long ways. And not because I was so good, but because the Lord did a lot with me and was patient and pushed. And I think, so part of that story is something that we would tend to think of as basic. And the basic is the main thing. And I think sometimes we get so far over here in trying to explain something, and I don't have an axe to grind on that. But the issue is the main thing is so powerful. In the song that we sing, I love to tell the story. And the last stanza is, for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. So I think sometimes we think when we're working, we got to come up with something new. And I got to come up with, you know, some new spin, or, you know, I got to come up with a different pitch. And the main thing is still the main thing. And it can be exciting. And it can be emotional and touching and moving. And you think about those people in the first century who heard it the first time, how mind-blowingly different this was. So much so that they were astounded by it. And they were willing to give their life for it. Not something to coast through.
Just want to follow up with a comment that maybe you can also comment on. And that is, sometimes we forget to ask them their story. We don't have a starting point. We have an answer that we think they need to hear, but we don't know where they're at and what they need to really hear because we haven't asked.
You know, it's been a long time. You have to bear with me. Because you told a story, And the thing that jumped out at me was anger. And my question is to you is, how do you control? You had a picture of a lab and the picture of the shepherd. How do you control the in-between to keep from getting to the shepherd, so you're able to be a great example to your wife, to your children, and your grandchildren?
How to keep from going guard dog on them? Yeah, that's a good one. I sort of jabbed at this, but I do think what we take in forms our spirit. And I think when we are intentionally taken in acid, it's going to come out. And we're doing it to ourselves. You know, it's sort of like not forgiving someone. It's like, you know, it's like drinking acid, hoping they'll die. And I think our approach to people somewhere starts in the same place, that I think we're training our spirit in how we're going to deal with people and how we're going to invest in them and how much are we willing to sacrifice to get to the finish line. And we have the perfect example of a guy who went the whole way and guide dogged the whole way.
And my other question was that I really appreciated what you said, because I saw myself in a lot of those things you talked about. And you actually, you know, you've helped shed some light upon some things. I'm sure my wife can probably agree with what you said about a lot of things. But a lot of times, you know, my question is, you know, you go to meetings to learn things, to be effective teachers and instructors so you can have faithful followers. So if I'm not great at those things, how can I expect to have good followers or followers?
Well, I have a ridiculously simple answer to that. Love your wife. And it'll change you.
I have a question. Never mind. Okay. Like I said before, I really appreciate so many of the things that you said, but I can hear some of the objections, like even what David was talking about, you know, sharing your story. And some will say, well, that sounds a little denominational. You're talking about testifying there, or hospitality. You know, we don't have, you know, after church programs. You know, we don't have some of these things, and people say, oh, that sounds too denominational. And sometimes we use that as a, I don't know, some weird thing that gets us in the way of doing things that we actually ought to be doing. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping maybe you could address that question. Someone comes up and say, I'm not sure I feel comfortable with this because maybe it's too close to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's specific to the hospitality thing. I mean, I was not talking about that in an organized way. I was talking about that in terms of what we each do. And, you know, I think sometimes we make it harder for ourselves. We make it more complicated. And because I think we go out with this notion of, I got to get them to a Bible study. And it's like, they're going to eat it no matter what. And you're going to enjoy it. And I mean, it may get to that, but I'm fascinated by how Jesus encountered people, and there was something that was irresistible about him. That he just, they instantly just like, this is the guy I've been looking for all my life. And how inviting that is. And I think we can, it's so simple. It can be a peanut butter sandwich. It does not have to be like a 5-course meal. We don't have to worry about having a fancy place. Go to a pizza place, you know? I mean, the fact is, it's just it's just being more welcoming and so, you know, a little less closed in.
2 points, very quick. Number one, I think whenever we as Christians understand God's purpose for us in that we are here to give him glory, we're to extol his excellencies and tell other people about others. By the way we look on our face, people can't tell if we know God. I mean, they probably think we know Satan sometimes by our attitudes. And it's because the Lord really hasn't refreshed our spirit. And we're not going around with good news, bearing good news. And so I think we all need to discover that it's not how much money we make that day. Our purpose in life is to give God glory, period. And so let's get about that business. How can I give God glory today? How can I serve him? How can I bring people to know him? So if we get up in the morning and say, how can I give God glory today? It might be, I need to be a good father, a good mother, a good brother, a good sister, a good friend. But whatever it is, we have our purpose. God has a purpose for our life, and that is to give him glory and to share his excellent nature. So that's it. And the scriptures do have Mark 9 and verse 19, where Jesus told the person who had cast out the demon, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. I mean, that is a principle that's in the scriptures. So why don't we use it? There's these points about sharing our story. I do think what happens in an age of narcissism is we want it to be all about us. Some of the Christian music we have is all about us and all about us and you know, how wonderful God makes us feel, and it's all about us. And I think that we've taken the focus off of God. But we just need to get it back together and recognize we're here for God's glory, and that's what it's all about.
Brother, do you have any concluding comments you'd like to make?
Bart's phone is about to jump off of here. It's flashing all over the place. No, I think that, you know, I think I've said it. We have a great story to tell. And sometimes that just means living a great story. And living a life that people look to and they go, that's what I want.